Now, if you've got your Bibles, I'd like for you to turn over with me to the book of 1 Chronicles. I appreciate my Bible. Brother Taylor gave me this Bible. And I never have used it before much, but I started using it and I really like it. I'm thankful for Donnie. Where's Donnie? I saw him come in. Here he is, way back here. Thankful for Donnie. I believe Donnie really means business with God. I believe he loves the Lord. And I believe he really wants to serve God. And if we'll strengthen him and help him, I believe he'll be a blessing to us. He plays a trumpet too. And we'll have to get a hold of a trumpet. One of our trumpet players left us. And the Lord sent us another one. He said he'd have to get back in practice. But he played the trumpet for about 3 years in school. And he will have another trumpet play. I think the trumpet, how many of you like a trumpet? To me, I think it's one of the most beautiful instruments in the whole world. I'm just waiting to hear him sound it, ain't you? When the Lord sounds the trumpet, I want to go home to be with him. Yeah, we're glad to have Junior and Jenny over with us this morning. Glad that Teresa has surrendered her heart to God. And the little lady back here, I can't never think of her name, with the pretty long curls. She's so pretty. But anyway, I think she, just being so little, but she still loves Jesus. And we're glad to have her. I think she's a little bit bashful. But we're glad to have her with us this morning. And all the little children that love the Lord. We don't say much about little children. You know, we're too big and important to say anything about children, you know. But Jesus, he just said, suffer the little children to come unto me and forbid them not. And he took them and set them on his knees. The disciples felt too important, you know, but Jesus didn't. He said, just bring them on and set them on my knee and I'll talk to them. He had time. I think about some of these mothers. I spoke about it in the past. Some of these so-called women preachers, I've seen them when they were so important they didn't have time to raise a family. Their little children, they act like that they were in their way. And I thought, how foolish a person can be. If there was any ways like Jesus, it'd be altogether different. These mothers that, you know, they're so busy, they don't ever have time to see about their children. The house is more important than the children that they built the house to take care of. That's right. The meals and the dresses and the furniture and what they've got is more important than the husband that they married. Sure, and the family that they're raising, and really that's why they got the house, is for the husband and for the children, and the husband got it for the wife. There you go preaching again, Brother Pike. Every time you get up here, you preach to us. 1 Chronicles, if you've got your Bibles, I'd like for you to read with me. In the 28th chapter of the book of 1 Chronicles, how many of you know what the word chronicle means? That's a cataloging of the acts of the kings. Chronicles, it's taken from the word chronological. It means chronological order, or setting things in order. And these are chronological writings concerning the different kings that was in rule during their time. A lot of times you read the Old Testament and you'll find in reading it that after you read the book of maybe 1 King or 2 King, then you go to read Chronicles, you realize you're reading the same thing all over again. And the reason for that is because it is the recordings of the kings. It's the records of their administrations. In the 28th chapter of the book of Chronicles, 1 Chronicles, I want to read, and you that's got the brakes on, you might as well take them off because you're stuck with me this morning whether you want it or not. So I done made up my mind I'm going to read to you, so you might as well just get up and leave or get the brakes off. The 28th chapter of 1 Chronicles, in the 19th verse, all this said David, the Lord made me understand in writing by his hand upon me even all the works of this pattern. And David said to Solomon, his son, be strong and of good courage and do it. Fear not, nor be dismayed, for the Lord God, even my God, will be with thee. He will not fail thee nor forsake thee until thou hast finished all the work for the service of the house of the Lord. And behold, the courses of the priests and the Levites, even they shall be with thee for all the service of the house of God. And there shall be with thee for all manner of workmanship every willing, skillful man for any manner of service. Also the princes and all the people will be holy at thy command. Furthermore, David the king said unto all the congregation, Solomon my son, whom alone God hath chosen, is yet young and tender, and the work is great, for the palace is not for man, but for the Lord God. Now I have prepared with all my might for the house of my God, the gold for things to be made of gold, and the silver for things of silver, and the brass for things of brass, the iron for things of iron, and wood for things of wood, unk stones and stones to be set, glistering stones and of divers colors, and all manner of precious stones and marble stones in abundance. Moreover, because I have set my affection to the house of my God, I have of mine own proper good, of gold and silver, which I have given to the house of my God, over and above all that I have prepared for the holy house, even 3,000 talents of gold of the gold of Ophah, and 7,000 talents of refined silver to overlay the walls of the house withal, the gold for things of gold, and the silver for things of silver, and for all manner of work to be made by the hands of artificers. And who then is willing to consecrate his service this day unto the Lord? Now, there's a couple of thoughts here that I'd like to deal with this morning, exhort you some in the morning service. There are several things I want you to especially notice. First of all, God doesn't do things haphazard. He just doesn't do things any old way. He doesn't just change his plans, his way of doing things because you don't like it. He doesn't just alter the things that he set out to do because you had some other idea about it. He doesn't just uproot everything that he starts because somebody opposes it or had rather that it wouldn't be done. God is not a fool. He's not a man that he should repent, nor the son of man that he should tell a lie. And God is not a fool, as some people seem to think that he is. God doesn't conform to your way of thinking, nor your plans, nor anything that you want to do. God doesn't conform to it. God doesn't conform to Brother Pike's ways. He doesn't conform to Brother Branham's ways. He doesn't conform to Brother Robert's ways. He doesn't conform to your way, brother, or your way, sister. He doesn't conform to anybody's way. God has a way of his own. And God has a plan of his own, and God is going to do it his way. It doesn't matter if you've been successful in business, God could care less, as the world says. It doesn't matter if you've got a great big PhD and you're an educated person, God doesn't care a bit about it. It doesn't matter if you've got a nice home and a new car, God doesn't care for it. You might have all of these talents, all of these abilities, but God doesn't care for it. Now, God has a way, God has a plan, and God has a man. And he's going to do it his way, no matter what you say, or I say, or anybody else says. Now, what we need to do is to break down our stubborn, rebellious will. Get rid of the flesh, kill out the flesh, get rid of the things that we think about it, the things that we want to see done about it, and get into the stream with God and go with God. That's what you need to do.
God isn't interested in the success of your business. He doesn't care anything about your business. As far as He's concerned, it wouldn't matter to Him if you wasn't in business. Unless you dedicate your substance to God. Unless you dedicate your life to God. Unless you dedicate what you're doing to God. And then if you do, God is concerned about it. Otherwise, God could care. He doesn't care anything about what you're doing. Your life, He doesn't care if you drink, curse, smoke, cheat, swindle, lie, steal, whatever you do. God doesn't care unless you're going to turn around and serve Him. He doesn't care because the Bible said that there are brute beasts made to be taken and burned. That's why He made them, was to curse. He made them to drink. He made them to fight. The Bible said God created the good and God created the evil. God has His way in both. God works all things after the counsel of His own will. You say, Brother Pike, you mean to tell me that God doesn't care? Jesus said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And all that God has given me, they will come to me. He said, I am angry with the wicked every day. I will pursue the wicked till they perish from off of the face of the earth. I am against them. And David said, let their table be made a snare unto them. Let them always go backwards. Let them be confounded. And God said, I will destroy them that destroy the earth. I will pursue them until they perish from off the face of the earth. God doesn't care for those people. A lot of people say, well, I believe that God does care, that He sent Jesus Christ to die for them. He never sent Jesus Christ to die for the wicked. Jesus Christ never died for a wicked man. Jesus Christ died for a just man. The Bible said, we have come unto the place wherein the spirit of just men are made perfect, and that by the offering up of the body of Jesus Christ, for He has perfected forever them that are sanctified. Sanctified them once and for all by the offering up of the body of Jesus Christ on the tree. God is angry with the wicked every day. God doesn't love the wicked. God has made no plans to receive the wicked, nor He hasn't made any plans to provide for the wicked. God, because of His people, has to send the rain on the just and on the unjust. If you are unjust this morning, God hates your image. He said, in the morning when you stand before me, He said, I will hate your image. I will despise your image. God despises you. He hates you. He doesn't want you even near Him. He has no time for you. And it would please Him very well if every one of you were eradicated from the face of the earth. And someday that's exactly what He's going to do. He's just bearing with the children of God right now. He's bearing with His family. He has to send the rain on the briar to be able to get to the wheat. He has to leave them alone and let them grow together, lest He pull up some of the good wheat. But God is going to make a separation. God so loved the world in its, I've told you here a lot of times, in its unadulterated state, the way that He created it in the garden, not as it is under the curse, but as it was when He created it. God so loved the world that He gave His only Son to redeem the world from the curse and to redeem the children of God, not the brute beast that was made to be taken and burned. Jesus said they are a crooked generation. They are a perverse generation. He said they are of their father the devil. They never was of God. They are of their father the devil, and God hated them from the beginning, and He still hates them now. He said they are a liar because their father was a liar from the beginning. There's people that love the things of this world. Do you know that? There's people that love the things of this world. When Satan got on Peter, Jesus turned to him and said, get thee behind me, Satan. He said, for thou lovest the things that be of this world. The word savorest there indicates the love of Satan for the things of the world. Thou savorest the things that be of man and not the things that be of God. I see a lot of the brethren that want to go out and do something. They tell me that they want to go out and do something. But I know for a certainty that they love the things of this world. I know for a certainty the reason they want to go is to get an income, to set them up some work of their own, because they have no income in this work. And this is what they want to do. I know that for a fact. And I also know that they're going to run into troubles. Not that God won't help them. God won't bless them. God will work with them. Paul said, whether the gospel be preached for contention or otherwise, nevertheless the gospel is preached. Herein I rejoice. It doesn't matter what the motive is. God will let it go if it's the gospel. But there is a right way to serve God. There is a true way to serve God. And God has a man to build the house of God. And God has a leader everywhere that he works. And God has talents everywhere that he goes to do something, and skill. And God has a specific plan, and he isn't going to change it. The wicked, God doesn't care for the wicked. God doesn't love the wicked. God would have liked for everyone to come to repentance and been saved. It's not his will that any should perish. But he knew when he created these to be burned in the fire that they would perish. The Bible said they were predestinated unto the fire and unto the damnation. This was the purpose that they were created for. They were created for the purpose of being a briar among the berries, of being a thorn among the roses. They were created for the purpose of proging at you and I, causing you and I trouble, causing you and I problems, to where that we would grow discouraged and weary in our own strength and in our own ability, and see our need for a Savior, and see our need for some great supernatural power of endurance, that through the medium of that, God might transform us into an eternal creature and preserve us forever. That's the only reason they're in the world. And at the end of the way, he said he would send forth the reapers, and they would gather the harvest. They would gather the harvest together and cut everything down, and they would take and bind the bundles of tares and cast them into the fire, and then would gather the wheat together and gather them into the garners. Put them into bundles and gather them into the garners. That's why that I am persuaded to believe that all of this other that has forerun the coming of the Lord has been binding the bundles of tares, making them Church of God bundles, making them Baptist bundles, making them Catholic bundles, making them all kind of denominational bundles. God has been gathering the tares together, making them denominational bundles so that he could cast them into the fire of the wrath and indignation of God. Whereas the Bible said she'd become the cage of every unclean and hateful bird. You say, Brother Pike, do you believe that the Church of God is a cage of every unclean and hateful bird? I certainly do. You believe the Baptist is? I certainly do. The Catholic? I certainly do. Every one of them will go to the Mother Harlot Church. Every one of them are daughters that will ally with the Mother Harlot Church. And in that time, all of the denominations will go to it, whether it be Jesus' name denominations or whether it be whatever denomination it is, every one of them will go to it. Now, I know that in these churches and in these denominations that God has done a work. I know that he's used it like he would a husk. And he's brought down some grain all the way down through the years in it. He's used it. He's worked. It wasn't a denomination when God started. It was a move of God. It was a move of God, and men of God started. But when they got a nice church, when they got a little income, then the men that wanted to set up their own works, that was too lazy to work, wanted an income and wanted prestige and wanted to be called of men rabbi, and the greetings and the salutations in the marketplaces, having the preeminence over the people, these men got in. And when the older overseers and leaders died out, these men took control of it, and they turned it into a cesspool of iniquity. It is a money machine, and God is going to destroy the whole thing. The people that were Christians, the real, genuine Christians, were sifted out of it, and God moved them on in a little non-denominational move, always moving them on, always moving them on to where he could do something for his kingdom. Now, in the readings of 1 Chronicles, I want you to notice something here. It says that the Lord had chosen Solomon. It said that Solomon, my son, whom alone God has chosen. Now, he didn't choose a half a dozen others. The Bible said he chose Solomon alone. Somebody said, but Brother Pike, don't you know that's in the Old Testament? Don't you know that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever? Don't you know that in the New Testament that Peter said, seeing that God has made a difference between us, choosing me, Peter said, to go down to the Gentiles and make known to them the ways of God. He said, how can you deny what I'm doing? How can you deny what I'm telling you concerning the Gentile church? Seeing that God made a difference between us. Jesus Christ has always been the same. Because thou hast loved righteousness, God hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. Above thy fellows, God hath anointed thee above thy fellows, because you loved righteousness and wanted to see the kingdom of God established and didn't have some warped up concept of it or didn't try to make it conform to your ideology, but you loved righteousness. Though it might cut across your grain, it might have cut across your way of thinking, it might cut across your feelings, it might cut across your ideas, but because you loved it down to the very jot and tittle, God has sent a special anointing upon you, lifted you up, magnified you, and anointed you with the oil of gladness above your fellows, that he might make you a leader to establish the house of God in the earth, whom alone God has chosen. Somebody said, well, bless God, I don't see why anybody else couldn't have done it. Because God had not chosen them. Now you say, well, nobody else tried to do it. Yes, they did. There was another son of David. He wanted the throne and he was going to take the throne. Regardless of what, he was going to take it if he had to create a rebellion among the people and get everybody that he could to stand with him, and he succeeded in doing it. He went over here and he got this one, and he went over there and he got that one, and he went over yonder and he got that one. And he kept on wanting to do what he wanted to do until finally he got what he thought he was to have. And just about the time that he did, God began to move, and God killed him, God destroyed him, and God moved him out of the way. He was not called to do it. It was not God's calling for him to do it. In the first place, God had given the man that he had chosen a special understanding. This man had cried unto God. He had said, Lord, give me an understanding heart. Not so I can get rich. Not so I can have the preeminence over your people. Not so I can be a lord over your heritage. But give me an understanding heart. He said, God, so that I won't mislead your people. So that I won't tell them wrong. He said, for God, he said, this is a great thing that you want me to do. And said, who's got the knowledge? Who's got the wisdom? Who's got the understanding to be able to tell them what they need to know? He said, God, I don't have it. You don't have it either. I don't have it either. It has to come from God. It's like Daniel. Over there in the time of the troubles of Daniel, when everything was so bad in the days of Daniel, old man is about to slay all the leaders in the land. And nobody could interpret the king's dream. And the king said, just kill them all. They're a bunch of hypocrites anyway. He said, they're a bunch of make-believers. They're a bunch of fakes. Like Brother Branham said one time, when the bear come after him, he said, you can't be making believe. You better have the goods. And when Daniel heard of what was about to take place, Daniel went and said, oh, king, God's got the answer. God's got the answer. God's got the answer. When Pharaoh didn't know what to do, Joseph said, God has got the answer. The dream troubled Pharaoh, and he didn't know what to do. But Joseph wasn't making believe. Joseph had the answer to the situation. And he sat before Pharaoh, or stood before him, sat in the throne with him, and gave him the advice that he needed during the years of the famine, because he knew. Daniel said, oh, king, said, don't let it trouble you. He said, we've got the answer to the problem. And he told him. And then when he told him in meekness. He told him in humility. He didn't tell him to lift up himself. But he said, King, this wisdom that I've got, he said it wasn't given to me for my benefit. He said it was given to me for the sake of these that you were about to slay. It was given to me for your sake, that you might know that there is a true God. God shut up all the prophets. God confounded all the prophets. The Bible said the seers shall be confounded. All the prophets shall seem as madmen. Why? He closed out everything that he might make a move. And that move was to be Daniel. And Daniel was to be at the head of those wise men. And the Bible said that God made Daniel the president of the whole thing. That's what the Bible said. God did it. He put him to a test. He put the Hebrew children to a test. And then he put the Hebrew children in rule over the kingdom. He made them great statesmen in that day because they were put to the test. A lot of times we're jealous of people. I see Brother Gonzalez, sometimes people are jealous of the blessings on his life. But I want you to know before God used Al Gonzalez, and you are nothing less than foolish to mess with him or any minister, for the Bible saying, touch not mine anointed, do my prophets no harm, vengeance is mine and I will repay, saith the Lord. He might let it go a long time, but someday you'll reap it. Someday, when you least expect it, it'll fly up in your face. This man was put to the test. He and his wife and children put to the test in old Mexico and had to stay there in the dirt for a number of years. If you think it's easy, try it with the mosquitoes and the bugs and the snakes and the beetles and the persecution that they underwent. He put them to the test, and then God magnified the man and blessed him. And God has been with Al, gave him favor across the nation. Why? He put him to the test. God took Abraham, and God put Abraham to the test. He took his only son and took that son up on the top of the mountain and laid him down and would have destroyed the son if God had not sent an angel and stopped him. God put him to the test before he ever used him. There has never been a man that God has ever used at any time that he didn't put to a test first. You women that are so protruding in your spirit, so hard, instead of being meek and humble, shamefaced and humbling your spirit, you think God's going to use you? Why, you're foolish. God isn't going to use you. You get in a woman's place. There is a place for a woman. You get in her place and God will use you just like he did Deborah, just like he did the others. You men are the same way, running around trying to figure out how to get an income or start something on your own that God isn't even in or interested in to get you some kind of income. My friend, don't you know that's foolishness? Don't you know that that'll come to nothing? God's not in that. If you've got a work to do, if you've got a calling, then be faithful in what you're doing. God will open the way and put you into it. He will open the way and put you into it. But you've got to do it God's way. We have, since we've been building the building, since we've been carrying on the ministry here, we've had nothing but sand ballots from every direction. Half breeds, half in and half out. Half with God and half not with God. Always a continual interference every time that we started this up. But God sent me here to do it. God told me to do it. God stood with me. That's why I came. I would never have attempted to have done it. I would have been foolish to have tried to have done it if it had not been God. But he established the vision because it was to be that way. You say, how do I know it was God? Because there's one spirit of truth. I said it and it came to pass as truth. It had to be God. And if when you fight against it, you fight against God. He said, Solomon, God will not forsake thee. We have had a continual prophecy against us in even building the natural building. And the natural building is the lesser part of it. Because the thing that God sent me to do was to build a temple of lively stones built up into a holy priesthood, a habitation for God, the eternal spirit. This is what God sent me to do. God sent me to do that. That is what God sent me to do. And the natural building was the result of what God wanted to do. This is just the base of operation. But we should be grateful, we should be thankful that God would give us any kind of building to worship in. Now, it's God's reward to you. He knows you're natural. He knows that you have to have food to eat, clothes to wear, a natural building over your head, cars to ride in. He knows that. Even to do anything spiritually, you've got to have some natural means. He knows that. Somebody said, Brother Pike, I don't believe I've got to have nothing natural to do something spiritual. You're foolish. You're not even thinking right in your head. You're foolish. Man needs his tongue to speak with. Man needs his eyes to see with. Man needs his ears to hear with. If there had been no need for anything natural, God had never made anything natural. So don't be foolish. Honor the Lord with your substance and the first fruits of your increase. Then your barns will be filled with plenty, and then your presses will burst out with new wine. Honor the Lord with it. Solomon, God will not forsake you till you finish your work. He'll stay with you. He'll give you men of understanding. He'll give you skillful men. And the Bible said that God put Solomon over every bit of it, and they were under the command of Solomon. I want you to know today, God's got a fivefold ministry, and you're under that ministry. You can kick, you can... Now, wait just a minute, Brother Pye. Kick. Let me tell you, when you rebel against it, you're not under it. I want to change that. You're not under it. When you kick and do all those things and you rebel, you're not under that ministry. You're just a half-breed. You're a troublemaker. Like a man down the road here jumped on Brother Taylor yesterday, I believe, about Brother Lonnie and some of the others, telling him he's our people this and our people that, and him about sloppy drunk. He's a troublemaker. And God will make him pay for it too. I tell him he's a troublemaker. Now then, I want you to know something. God has a fivefold ministry. And you that are sheep of God, you that are called of God, you've got to be under the leadership of that. You've got to follow that with all of your heart. You've got to forget about your feelings. Forget about your ideas. Forget about your plans. And get under that ministry. And stay there with it until God puts you in what you're supposed to be in, if you're supposed to be in anything different. And He'll never take you out from under the fivefold ministry. He's never taken me out from under it. He's never taken me out from under it. When Brother Gonzalez preaches, Brother Jimmy preaches, and the other brethren preaches, I'm still under it. I still have to listen. I still have to obey. It's like yesterday, having a little conversation with my wife and Sister Arlene, just reasoning there in the house with them. I took the Bible, and I was trying to reason and talk with them. I know we think our women folk are a bunch of pigs or a bunch of cows. I'll tell you what, if you don't get that idea out of your head, God's going to deal with you about that thing. These women are not a bunch of cows. They're not a bunch of pigs. They're not a bunch of dogs. The Bible said their price is far beyond that of rubies. These are daughters of God. A lot of times when I'm preaching up here and I talk about the woman getting in her place and I say these things, I'm trying to bring out an illustration concerning the church. I know what I'm saying don't fit all women. I know that. But I'm talking about the woman that honors her husband. The woman that obeys her husband. I said this yesterday in a conversation we was talking. Listen, I know you ladies don't seem to understand this. But the Bible said that your husband is put over you as the Lord. He is your Lord. Your husband is. Not only that, but the Bible said, wives, submit yourself unto your husband as unto the Lord. Not as unto a man, the flesh and blood. Not as unto something you think. You say, Brother Pike, he's so repulsive in my eyes, I'll never be able to do it. You will die and be lost. You will burn in hell because you are self-willed, and that's why you can't do it. You ever seen a dead man raise up unless God resurrected him? You ever seen a dead person give any trouble? You're not dead. If you was dead, it wouldn't bother you. Your flesh isn't dead. Your spirit's supposed to be one with him. You say, but I don't agree with him. Well, you ought not to have married him. Somebody said, well, after I married him, I found it out. Well, you need to go to him and tell him that you made a mistake and that you don't want to follow him, that you don't receive him as your head, and that you're not going to live with him. Sure. You say, but I don't want to do that. Well, then make up your mind one way or another. Stop being double-minded. You can't go just any way you want to. You've either got to go one way or another. If you choose him as your head, you've got to obey him. Now let's get it right. Somebody say amen. Now it said, for me and you to build the house of God. Isn't that right? And you're a bunch of lively stones. The question was asked that who this day will consecrate his service unto God and unto the building of the house of the Lord? He said, who this day will consecrate his service, his ability, his talents unto the Lord? Who'll do it, Solomon said. Said, we got a job to do. Who'll do it? I ask you the same question here many hundreds of years later. How many of you will consecrate your service, your efforts, and your ability unto God? How many of you will do it? How many of you will do it? Now, since we're dealing with the women, I want to ask this question. If God intended for the woman to be a symbol of the church, and you men are supposed to be that woman, if he intended for the women to be the church, and he intended for the man to be Christ the Lord in the symbol. More than a symbol. Because you've got the spirit of the church within you. And he's got the spirit of Christ within him. Sure. More. Now if he intended that, if God intended that, do I say that? Paul said, if any of you think yourself to be spiritual, I want you to acknowledge the things that I'm telling you are the commandments of God. This is not my idea about it. It's not what I think about it. Women sit around and reason. They reason. They say, well, I don't know whether I want to obey it or don't want to obey it. I don't know whether it's right or whether it isn't right. I don't know whether I think that I ought to follow that or not. Then when you get through, lady, with all of your reasoning and your little rendezvous with the devil, you turn right back to your husband and you can say, my Lord, You're the children of Sarah, if you do well without any amazement, who called Abraham her Lord. Wives, submit yourselves unto your husband as unto the Lord. You say, Brother Pike, how can I do it? Listen, let me tell you something, children of God. You listen real close to this. When you look at your husband, wife, when you look at him, remember you are not submitting unto him as an individual. You are saved by the grace of God, and that grace comes through believing. And that believing comes through the Word. And your faith is made manifest by your works or your deeds. Now remember that. You don't have any faith in this Word unless it's shown by what you do. The child is known by his doing. The writer said, show me your faith without your works. I'll show you my faith by what I'm doing, by my works. Now when this Word of God says to you, wives, be subject unto your husbands. Wives, be subject unto your husbands. in all things. All things. Wives, be somebody said, but now wait a minute, Brother Pike. You mean if he tells me to go get a bottle of booze? You know that's foolish. Why do you let the devil talk to you like that? God's not the God of the dead, but the God of the living. The Bible said you do err not knowing the scriptures. God's not the God of the dead, but of the living. We're talking about Christians. We're talking about living oracles of God. Who's never going to tell you anything like that? And you know that they're not going to tell you anything contrary to God. You say, but now wait a minute. What if he gets a little selfish and works this thing around for his own purpose? Just leave him alone. Just go whisper a little prayer somewhere and leave him alone. And when God breaks about a half a dozen of his bones, he won't do that anymore. The Bible said, deal not treacherously against the wife of thy youth. God hated putting away. Just leave him alone. If he can't learn one way, he can another. The Bible said God's got two staves. One's called beauty and one's called bands. He'd like to lead you by grace if he can, but if he can't, he can lead you with a whip. He can put you under a bondage any way you want to go. If you judge yourselves, you'd have no need to be judged. But when you're judged of God, you must be chastened that you be not condemned with the world. Somebody say amen. All right. Now, wives, obey thy husbands in all things. Now, you understand what I'm saying? In all things, obey your husband. Submit yourself unto your husband. Somebody said, that's what gets me. That's the thing that gets me. I just can't make myself submit to that Frank Taylor, that Zale Carnes, and that George Pike, that Jimmy Kirk, that Charlie Elliott, that Sam Pike, that Gilbert. I just can't do it. Somebody say amen. Oh, you say, Brother Pike, you ain't supposed to call names. John called names. Paul called names. Peter called names. Well, come on, I can't call names. I just can't make myself do it. You're going to die and go to hell if you don't do it. That's the only answer. Submit yourself unto your husband as unto the Word. Because the Word is your Lord. And the Word is wrote in the behalf or benefit of your husband. The Word is wrote for the benefit of your husband because you are a type of the church and he is a type of God. Wives, submit yourself unto your husband as unto the Lord. Now, when you look at him and he's repulsive and you just can't do it, say, Lord, if I ever get to heaven, faith in your word is going to take me, and my deeds is the proof of my faith. Lord, your word said that I am to believe in what you have instructed me in such a way that I am to submit myself unto my husband as unto my Lord. Then you'll have a different home. You'll have a different life. You'll have a different world. How many of you understand what I'm saying? Now, chastisement's grievous for the moment, ain't it? But afterwards, it yields a good wife. It yields a good husband. Children, obey thy parents in the Lord. If you got Christian parents, obey them in the Word of God. They're not going to get out of the Word of God. Obey them. Obey them. Now, I said this the other day. I want to tell you something. The wives say, well, my husband does this and my husband does that, and you just don't know my husband. Well, he'd probably say the same thing. You just don't know my wife. But let me tell you something. How many of you believe that God knew that he was a human being when he made him? How many believe that God knew that? How many of you believe that God knew that he was a man and subject to mistakes, in that the Bible said God has subjected the creature to vanity? How many of you know that God, or believe that God knew that he was a human being subject to make mistakes? But even with all of that, God still said, wives, all things. Is that right? Now, don't you believe And if we got a wife that don't believe it, I'd love to see you after service. I'd love for you to come and have a little talk with us. Don't you believe that to the best of your husband's ability, the best of your husband's understanding, the best of his heart, that he will tell you the truth and try to lead you right? If you don't, I want you to raise your hand right now. I'm going to put you on the spot right now. I don't want you to go out of here and say, well, that was the difference. When you get to your husband, say, well, that was the thing, what he said up there. See, I just don't feel that way about it. Now is the time to make it known. Raise your hand now. If not, then don't go tell your husband about it. Don't you believe that he will do that? I'm still going to put you on the spot. Every wife that believes your husband will, I want you to raise your hand. All right. I got two. I got three. One, two, three. I didn't see my wife raise her hand. That's right. Be honest, Betty. Be honest. If you don't believe it, don't raise your hand. All right. We got three. Sister Jacqueline raised her hand. Sister Debbie raised her hand. And who else? Somebody else raised her hand. Sister Sally raised her hand. Sister Nobby raised her hand. Now, I want to ask you again, raise your hand. Sister O'Hea raised her hand. Sister Jeanette raised her hand. Sister Beachy raised her hand. Sister Linda raised her hand. Sister Aline. Sister Deanna. All right? Now that makes my wife don't believe it. That's the way I want it to lay, just exactly like it is. And let God judge between me and her. She's supposed to be the first lady in the church. She's supposed to be your example. I'm supposed to be the first man in the church if I'm your pastor. So let it rest between us. Now, yesterday I made the statement that my wife is not subject unto me like she ought to be. I made it publicly. She doesn't obey me like she ought to obey me. But it doesn't change the Word of God, not in the least. The Word of God is exactly the same. Wives, submit yourselves unto your husband as unto the Lord. Obey your husbands in all things. For this is the only way that you will ever go to heaven. For if you don't do it, you will go to hell. That's thus saith the Lord. That's God's eternal word. With no changes or alterations for me or Betty or for you or anybody else. It's the same. Now, God has called me into the ministry. He has counted me faithful, Paul said, by calling me not only to be a husband, but to be a minister. He has put his approval upon me by giving me a congregation wherever I've gone to preach the gospel to, and by supplying all of my needs according to his riches and glory. He has fed my wife to the full. She has no complaints. Her cup is run over. She has had perhaps more dresses than any one woman that I know of that's in the Christian world. She has had Sister Beach even here almost as a private dressmaker that is continually adorned her. My children have been fed to the full. They have no complaints. They have the desires of their heart. But it's just as it was in the days of the king, when the king called for Queen Bathsheba, and she wouldn't come. She wanted to be smart. She wanted to show herself off. She wouldn't come before. And the Lord put her away. Put her away. Because he said, when they came together in the kingdom, said she's the first lady, and said she'll cause an interruption through everything in the kingdom. When David came in, and David danced before the Ark of the Covenant, and this was on my mind the other day, his wife mocked him and said, you look pretty. You really thought you was cute out there dancing before your handmaidens and showing off before your handmaidens. But David danced before the Ark of the Covenant because his heart was with God. And God put her away, and David never came to her again. Now, we have a job to do. Whether my wife does it or not, I'll still do it by the grace of God. Whether my children go with me or not, I'll still do it. What I say unto you is God's word, and it will stand. When Abraham laid his son upon the mountain, he laid his son there because it was called for by the word. If I have to leave my wife there, that's where she'll be. If I have to, and I have put my wife and my children on the altars for God years ago, and I've never taken them off. I want to know who will consecrate his life, Solomon said, to the building of God's temple of lively stones into a holy priesthood, to where the eternal spirit can dwell in the midst of those stones. How many are willing to do it? How many are willing to do it? If you're not willing to put your businesses on the altar, if you're not willing to put your wives on the altar, if you're not willing to put your husband on the altar and your children on the altar, you cannot go with God. The Bible said, let him deny himself. If he come after me, let him leave wife, forsake wife, let him forsake children, let him forsake houses, let him forsake home, or whatever it is, and go with God. And go with God. I am not here to make this thing sound easy for you or me or anybody else. I'm not here to change. I'm not here to alter it. I'm here to tell you just exactly like it is. It works the same way for me and my family as it does you and your family. It works the same way for your wife as it does my wife. If my wife plays the hypocrite, God will get her. If your wife plays the hypocrite, God will get her. If you play the hypocrite, I play the hypocrite, God will get us. God will not forsake thee, Solomon. Until you have finished the work that he has given you to do, he will not forsake you. He will give you men of understanding. He will give you men of skill. He will give you men of ability. He will not forsake thee, but he will be with thee. When the angel of God appeared to me and told me the work that I was to do, as God revelated it to me, and he spoke to me and put a ring on my finger, he said, I will never leave thee. I will never. I will never leave thee. He said, I will never forsake thee, but I will be with thee in the time of trouble and in the time of need, and he's not failed to do it one time. Not one time. I testify before you that my wife has never went hungry. My children have never went hungry. I have never went hungry. We have never gone lacking for clothes. We have never at any time been stranded with what God didn't undertake. Not one time in my life. And that's the truth, so help me God. And I have to stand before God to answer for it. My daughter Dale, when she was at home, though I was out on the road, had no way to get any money, no way to buy anything, my daughter looked like a princess when she walked into the church. She had the finest clothes that money could buy. She had some of the prettiest dresses that anybody could put on. For everywhere that we went, God caused somebody to buy her clothes or to give her some of their most beautiful dresses. She was always in a beautiful change of apparel. All the time. My wife has been the same. You know that. You've been here. You've been around here. You've seen her. She has more dresses than any of you. My children eat. They're taken care of. I have plenty to wear. The Bible said Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of the lilies. God takes care of me in every way. I have no complaints. But I have dedicated my life. I have dedicated my heart. I have dedicated my mind not to rebel against God, but to be a leader. To swear to my own hurt and go the way of God. No matter what the cost is, it doesn't bother me in the least. If it means a life of my little Joseph, if it means a life of my Danny, if it means a life of my Gracie, if it means a life of my wife or my children or me, it doesn't matter. I've got a job to do. And that job is with God. It breaks my heart to think that one of them might betray me, or one of them might go wrong, or one of them might be hurt. But nevertheless, I've got a job to do, and I'm going to do it by the help of the Lord. My testimony has not changed. When I was in Del Rio, Texas, many years ago, my car tore up and no place to stay, I finally wound up with a couple of little rooms over there, and then God opened a meeting, and I went there to preach to them. And my little baby took, I don't know whether it was pneumonia, double pneumonia, what, but it was smothering to death. It couldn't breathe. It was locked up in here, and the cold was so bad, it looked like there wasn't no hope. I had nothing to do anything with. But I had been preaching holiness for a day or two to those people. And they had really dug their feet in against it, because a lot of them was a bunch of bastard children that had just got together in a group. And they really dug their heels in against it. And when my baby seemed as though it would die, they really fluffered their feathers. And they thought God was really getting me, because I come there to tell them the truth. I told them when my baby was in a dying condition, I said, I want you to know one thing tonight, and I say the same thing to you today. When my baby is not in a dying condition, that may be any time, but it still stands under any kind of condition. I said, I came to preach the truth to you. I have told you the truth. And I said, I want you to know one thing. I don't change one bit of it, alter one bit of it. I said, it's just exactly that way. And to their utter amazement, in just a day or so, my baby was fine. And it's been fine ever since. The devil will throw you in the fire like he did Daniel. Sure, it'll make your wife act up like he did mine. It'll make your children act up. It'll make your neighbors act up. It'll make anybody act up to throw a blemish and a spot on the kingdom of God. But my brother, I will win out in Jesus' name. It doesn't matter. I will win out in Jesus' name. It doesn't, you say, but you don't know, but I do know. You say, but maybe it won't, but it will. You say, well, wait and see. That's the thing to do. I will win out. Paul said, I am persuaded to believe that which I have committed unto God against that day, great day, he's able to keep it. He will keep it. He has kept it, and he will keep it. Now, we're back from 4 weeks of revival in which I have almost continually given my mind to Jesus Christ and been in my room seeking the Lord and talking to God, fast and pray and study to try to build the house of God. And my friend, I need people that are going to be willing to stand regardless to what your family does. Willing to stand regardless to what you think about it. Get rid of your ideas. Get rid of your flesh. You ladies, don't you take an example from my wife, because you're going to be in trouble if you do. You take the example from the Bible. The Bible said, submit yourself unto your husband as unto the Lord. Obey your husband in all things. Everything. You obey your husband in it. You submit yourself unto your husband as unto the Lord. God knew that he was a man. God knew that he made mistakes. God knew that he was a human being when he put him over you. And like I told my wife yesterday in my exhortation, I tell her publicly, if she doesn't want to accept me as a head, she needs to be on her way. She needs to be on her way. Now, if she wants to accept me as a head, she has to do it the Bible way. If you want to accept your husband as your head, then, my friend, honor and obey him in all things. If you don't want to, you need to be on your way. And he is foolish if he tries to restrain you to keep you from being on your way. Not only that, let me tell you this. I do not condone double marriages. It's wrong. I do not say that you should go marry again. That's wrong. I do not say that your husband should marry again. Even though, when you violate the word, you are an unbeliever, and a brother or sister is not bound together in such cases. God don't unite them together over the word, because he's not the author of confusion. But I do tell you this one thing. I do tell you this one thing. That if you're going to live with him, you should honor him. If you're going to leave him, you should remain unmarried or be reconciled to your husband, because you are bound by his laws until the day that you die. Until the day that you die. Now then, I want to do something for the Lord. I told Brother Taylor yesterday, I said, Brother Taylor, we have tried to make a move for the youth. I said, and we've had nothing but problems. I said, it has been drug out, everything that we went to do. I said, it has been drug out. Now, I said, but we have come to the place to where we've got to make a move for the youth. We've got to make a move for God. And I went ahead, and I had Brother Adler to print up some literature to get the presses moving. Went ahead and done what we could on the building, and then just left it as it was. Went ahead and went out in revival to try to carry the gospel. Went ahead and stretched out by faith and went on some radio programs around the nation to preach the gospel, to do something for God. Still things have been drug out. But my friend, let me tell you something. We are still going to move for God. If we never get the building finished, which we will, but if we never did, we're still going to move for God. And I told Brother Taylor yesterday and talked with Brother Atlee about the things that I wanted to do and the things that we were going to do by the help of God. And he's planning to get started on his part of it. And I'm going to get Brother John, if he will, to take somebody and train him for the light table in here to where we can get the literature going. Literature is the most powerful thing in the world outside of God's Spirit. It's God's Spirit if it's the Word printed in literal form. And it can do a lot of things for God's kingdom. And I'm going to get him to train somebody. John may stay with us, he may not, I don't know. But if he does, he's got a lot of work to do in helping with the radio program, even if he doesn't stay on the light table, just taking care of the radio programs. I want to build the house of God. I want to build the house of God. At any cost, I want to build the house of God. It won't be long. We'll be on the other side. And the Bible said they neither marry nor are given in marriage. There's no such thing as wives over there anyway. There's no such thing as daughters and sons over there anyway. We're just a people that's predestinated to stand before God as angelic beings to give an account for what we've done. We have a little union here together, a little fellowship like a family. And we try to get along. And the woman has to stay in her place because God ordained it. The man has to stay in his place because God ordained it. The preacher has to stay in his place because God ordained it. The church has to stay in his place because God ordained it. And I know it's hard. I know it's hard. It's like Sister Branham when she got upset at Brother Branham over there. Went off and slammed the door because he wouldn't do what she wanted him to. And said, Billy, you think you know everything. It's not that a preacher thinks he knows everything. It's not that a minister thinks he's everything, but a minister knows he's called to do a job for God. The Lord spoke to him and said she ought not to have done that. Let me tell you something. If Brother John will train somebody here, I don't know who, I'm sure we've got some young fellas, somebody that would love to have put out these books and these tracts and the literature. There's others around the country, different ones. As a matter of fact, I just got word from one over the Carolinas that's wanting us to print literature for them. I still haven't felt any leadings to do that because we're not working commercially. And if brothers don't want to work with us in a coordination, I don't feel to do those things. I don't feel in backing a ministry. I don't feel in standing behind anybody that isn't going to cooperate with the brethren or work in harmony with the brethren. I don't feel that way. I believe in my heart, I believe that we have men in my congregation that is still not with me and will not be a part of this work. As a matter of fact, if I understand right, according to Revelation, I've already seen them where God has already fixed it to where they couldn't be a part of the work because of that. He's already done it. But I'm saying to these that are a part of it, if Brother John will train somebody for the table, we're intended to make a move. You young people, you youth, just like David said here, he said, Solomon is young and tender and the work is great. We got a great work to do, to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And you're still young and tender. You're able to do it. You're able to work together. Like the youth that rose up and took Canaan land when the elders was worn out. I saw a vision not too long ago, and I saw some of the people that's working with me here. Though they're not old, I see them. They're not old, but in the vision they had become old. They had become old. But within my heart, in the vision, I was still like Caleb. I was still like Joshua. I still had my youth and was wanting to go on for God. That's right. My wife was the same. God had given a youth. I have prayed many times God would renew our youth, that we could go on like Abraham and Sarah. My wife's youth was renewed in the vision also, and we stood ready to go on with the youth and make a move for God. And friend, we're going to make it by the help of God. If John will train somebody over there, and Hatley will train somebody on the presses, I believe Stevie will work with us. He has in the past, very faithful and very courteously, has worked with us in the printing of the literature, and he's very efficient in it. Brother Hatley, train somebody over there, and get Stevie over there and get somebody on the light tables. Get somebody back up here in this office up here to get some things done in getting the material down to the light table, which is a great job. And over here in this office to get something to be ready to mail out. It'll take 3 or 4 offices continually going to be able to do it. And then it's going to take many of you young girls and young boys to be able to go out and pass out literature in the place where the angel of God came and talked to me in Florida, where I was shown Brother Branham's death, on the same street and in the same community. I took a car, and I took the young people, and I got out in the car, and I went down the street and took a street at a time, went down it and come back up it, and turned them loose to every door to leave literature and to knock on the doors. And we got many multiplied homes and people interested in the gospel of Jesus Christ because we did something for God. And friend, there is a great reward of eternal life, of eternal health, of eternal riches, of eternal joy. All of this load will be lifted. All of this grief will be gone. All of this weariness, tiredness of the body. The Bible said when John saw Jesus, it was though the sun shined within his strength. It was like the sun shined within his strength. He was so youthful and happy and strong. Now, I need you young people. I need you. We're going to do it right away. Right away. I told Brother Taylor, we're not waiting any longer. We're going to do it right away. I've already told Brother Atlee what to do and Brother Frank what to do. We're going to do it right away. I purpose in my heart that today that I try to share some things with you. We're going to do it right away. I want every conscientious boy and girl that really wants to do something for God, I want you to let me and Brother Taylor know that you want to do it. And we're going to give you something to do for God. Every conscientious woman that really wants to do something for God, if she can do it in harmony with her husband, as for partaking in any field of labor, I want you to let us know. Any man that's willing to consecrate his life and his service to the building of the house of God, as Solomon said here, I want you to let me know. But I don't want you to hypocrite on me. I want you to let me know and be sure that you understand what you're saying and that your mind is made up to do it, that you're sold out to that purpose. And I want us to come together and make a world move for God. I know we've got a financial load on us right now. We got a burden hanging over our head. And the devil would love to do anything else to interrupt our family affairs or our friends or our neighbors or anything else to make the load even greater. But the kingdom of God is first. God will have to take care of those things. He promised to add them. It's up to him to do that. Now, but the thing is, we want to make a move, a worldwide move. Not just a move to catch a few people in Monroe, but I want to make a move across the nation. I want you young boys and girls to be able to go over to another town and have a little rally, if it's just a small rally, and publish literature, as Brother Atlee Prince it, to let the different ones in that town know that we're having a youth rally and a move for God, to get in what we can, to talk to them to see if they will help us spread the literature. If we can't get enough boys and girls, I want to take the money myself and go into the different cities and the different places. And I want to give little boys $1 here and $1 there, like they used to give me when I passed out things for the movies back yonder, when they'd have a little pamphlets and send us down the streets and the villages, pay us 50 cents to pass out the little papers. I want to pay them and ride along in a car close by and see that they give them out and spread the gospel. If I can't do it with the doves, then we'll have to do it with the ravens. God had to feed Elijah with the ravens. But I want to do it. And by the help of God, we're going to do it. I want to get the walkie-talkies that we had in mind. And I want the youth that feels like they're called to the ministry Some of you young boys that feel like you're called to the ministry, I want you to strap them on your back like I've done on the streets. I've done it. I've strapped them on my back and have done it when I didn't have a PA system. I want you to walk the streets. Walk the streets, and I want you to preach and testify of Jesus Christ and tell the youth what they're missing and what eternal life is and what they're giving up just to have a little long hair and a little dope. I want you to explain it to them. I want you to indoctrinate them. Build a thought pattern in their minds. There's a number of things in my heart that I can't bring to you this morning. Dozens of ways that we can and will spread the gospel of Jesus Christ if you'll work with me and help me. If you'll work with me. But if you don't, it's like the Lord said to Israel, "Know this, O Israel, that the gospel is taken from you, or the kingdom is taken from you and given unto another nation that will bring forth the fruits unto God." Now you hear me, elders. It will be taken from you and given unto your children. I do not believe that God has cut you elders off. I don't believe that. I believe He's giving you a chance. But I do believe that you're coming to a place, if you don't spur yourself on and get interested in the things of God, that you're going to have complications like you never have. If you don't forget about homes and houses and cars and fences and frocks and money and prestige and get that thing off of your mind once and for all and get in with God, you're going to miss the rapture. Now, I have taken my time this morning in telling you how I feel and what I think and understand of the gospel. If it's wrong, then you need to come to me and tell me. If it's right, you need to stand with me. Now, I want to say this. You ladies are supposed to keep quiet in the church. How many of you know that? Let your women keep silence in the church. It is not permitted unto them to speak. They are commanded to be under obedience, as also saith the law. If they will learn anything, let them ask their husbands at home. Is that right? If that isn't right, somebody tell me. If that's the gospel, then let's obey it. I want us to stand together, and I want us to sing a song. Now, I didn't count on running into the problems that I did, but I'm glad. You say, "Brother Pike, ain't you sorry?" No, I'm not sorry. I am not sorry. I've always said that a spirit will manifest itself. If there's something in my heart, it will manifest itself. What's done in secret shall be shouted from the housetop. I have nothing to hide. I have no condemnation in my heart. And I am not afraid of anything that anybody, anywhere can say. Now, if it's in your heart, it will be manifested. If it's in my heart, it will be manifested. If it's in my wife's heart, it will be manifested. God will make it known before the entire world.